Спасибо Богу за то, что он один за одним поднимает своих детей. Спасибо за эти встречи, за эти энкаунтеры, которые Бог просто подарил нам. Знаете, каждый энкаунтер несет что-то огромное, что-то
настолько
странное выражение лица, и потом в тот день, когда Бог просто захватывает тебя,
встречается с тобой полностью, меняет
все, что внутри тебя находится. И ты видишь, что ты едешь к этому энкаунтер, ты знаешь, что будет, но каждый раз ты возвращаешься абсолютно новым человеком.
Даже когда ты едешь служить, ты возвращаешься новым человеком,
погруженный в его славу. А, что-то у нас тут немножко... Спасибо Богу за это. Я просто, знаете, каждый раз прихожу в шок. Возвращаюсь домой абсолютно новый.
Спасибо тебе за каждого, за каждого, которого ты поменял.
Окей, хорошо. Так, я сейчас хочу сначала, давайте, как обычно,
поприветствуем.
Мы рады, что вы с нами. Я знаю, что сегодня будет сильная, мощная конференция с новыми откровениями. Тем, что у меня лежит на сердце,
what is up on my heart, this is what I live, this is what I breathe. It's not going to be a teaching or something, it's just, I just want to share my heart with you. Maybe it's not going to be much, but for me this is precious. Because sometimes God comes and gives you revelations and things that maybe in other eyes are not so important, but for you it's very powerful. And often, you know, as you take that revelation and as you put it into this box out of your box that you eventually, every time you take it out, and you just look at these revelations and you enjoy looking at them, and there's so much illumination and light comes out of it, and anointing of God. And you know, it's just like...
I would have probably said it's like this vessel that you know that this precious and it came from God,
and you know that the time will come where you have to give it away, just pour it out onto your beloved,
so that
this beautiful incense would fill everything around. You know, when I was preparing for this message, I was thinking, I asked Holy Spirit, well, what should I share? And there are many topics, but no matter what I'd start, I'd always go back to the same thing, and that is the message of his heart, of his passion, of who he is and what he desires.
Бог начал просто меня подталкивать,
I'm going to try to share with God the pieces and some reason, so precious for me that I doubt that I'll be able to go through it and say it exactly as it is. God gives you revelation. I'm going to try to share with God the pieces and some reason, so precious for me that I doubt that I'll be able to go through it and say it exactly as it is. God gives you revelation. I'm going to try to share with God the pieces and some reason, so precious for me that I doubt that I'll be able to go through it and say it exactly as it is. God gives you revelation. I'm going to try to share with God the pieces and some reason, so precious for me that I doubt that I'll be able to go through it and say it exactly as it is. God gives you revelation. I'm going to try to share with God the pieces and some reason, so precious for me that I doubt that I'll be able to go through it and say it exactly as it is. God gives you revelation. I'm going to try to share with God the pieces and some reason, so precious for me that I doubt that I'll be able to go through it and say it exactly as it is. God gives you revelation. I'm going to try to share with God the pieces and some reason, so precious for me that I doubt that I'll be able to go beloved, what is in his heart. And I've called this message Captivated by the Passion of His Heart. That is us. This is me. We are his worshipers. We are those that are in love with him. Amen. And I'll tell you the truth, when you come out to preach, I'm not the great speaker. I mean, I speak in the church encounters, but it's easy to talk about something that you experience in your life. It's easy to share something that you are going through, because often, you know, by going through some sort of pain or things, we use these experiences as a lesson in life, the lessons that will change and transform us. And often, by going through some sort of pain and carrying certain things and yokes in your life of barrenness, I understand that through these things, God gives birth to something big and grand for you. And I personally am so in love with this story in the Bible that often Pastor talks about. You know, every time he comes out here and just touches this message just a little bit, it is really just is awakened in me and my spirit. I just want to rise up and jump up and just raise my hands up in the air, because I can celebrate, because this is a story of Anna, that woman that was carrying barrenness in her, a woman that carried embarrassment in her, a woman that was born by God to go through these things, something to give birth to something so powerful and big, to give birth to one of the biggest prophets. And you know, when I hear this story, it resonates in me, and I see in it that by carrying this barrenness upon herself, she was born to be the one that will bring the biggest fruit. Because you know, that woman, even before in the physical realm she was pregnant, and before she gave birth to that child, already in the spirit realm she already conceived from the Spirit of God. Even not seeing that child, she was already pregnant with that dream. She was carrying him in the spirit. She saw him. She knew how he would be. And that is why back then, even without knowing or seeing anything, she gave him to the Lord. She said, if you will give him to me, I will give him in return to you. And you know, often, by going through pain, through things like that, I give honest to that. I understand how important it is to go through something, because if you don't pay a price, we cannot enter the things that the Lord gave us. And often when you go through something, you know, it's funny, kind of, but sometimes we so concentrate on the things that we're going through. You know, when I started writing this message, I was thinking, God, I'd probably speak about something that I'm going through, and the Holy Spirit said, move your eyesight away and focus away from this, because yes, it's for you, but it's not about you. What we go through is not about us, beloved. Yes, I understand that God is investing into us and building us up. It's like foundation through the things that we're going through. He's giving this to the new generation. When we go through pain and we don't see results, but we know that God is laying this foundation in us. But often we get stuck on that. We concentrate on it, pay attention to it, and you know, we start to, how should I say, build cities on these things. We put up tents and we make them the place of worship, the things that we are going through. We are just passing through. Sometimes you encounter a person in the hallway at the church, and I'm not laughing or whatever, because I'm one of those people. Seriously, I'll tell you the truth. Sometimes I encounter a person in the hallway, you look at him and ask him, how are you? And how he doesn't even know what to tell you. He just passes by. He passes by. In his eyes, you can see that he's just passing by. He's full of pain and bitterness. He's concentrated on himself. He's just passing by. He's just going through this for the Lord. I have the right to say this, because I have said this. I'm one of those people, because sometimes it's so hard for you that you even want to get up in the morning. And you know what? If you come up to me and ask me, so are you going through something? I can tell you so much. Oh yeah, I'm going through. I'll show you holes and wounds.
Я покажу вам, какие-то
Not restored, things that are still painful and nagging at me in my body, but what's interesting is that God recently made me laugh really badly because, I'll say maybe not him, but I probably made God laugh. You know, I was home with my children. We sat down to eat dinner after school, and they're sitting there making so much noise, chatting, and I want to be in this peace and quiet atmosphere. I'm sitting there at the table, shut my eyes, I'm drinking my tea with my shut eyes and eating something, and the kids are making all this noise, and then they say, "Mom, why are you sleeping when you're eating?" And I said, "Children, quiet. Mom is thinking. Mom is going through something." And then it was so funny for me. God is looking at me and smiling and says, "Oh yeah, my passerby, the one who's going through something. It's important what we go through. Yes, God treasures that. He knows every tear that you cry. He knows every step that you take. But let's just take that focus away from that, because that is not our goal. Sometimes when we go through certain things, we concentrate and get stuck and learn that we forget to see His beauty. We forget to look at His eyes. We forget to, sometimes God knocks at your heart. He wants to draw you closer to Him. He wants to reveal maybe certain revelations, but you're so busy. You're going through something. You are moaning and groaning, and you are in travail. You're just squeezing things out of yourself. And He says, I know that it's hard for you. Let's just stay together and stay here in this quiet place. I want to take you deeper to the relation of my heart. I want to tell you something. Often we are so busy with ourselves. You know what's scary is that we fall in love with ourselves. We start to like ourselves when we go through certain issues and conditions. I like this one song. I heard it a long time ago. I don't remember who sang it, but it was always like these words were stuck in me forever. It's like this. Teach me how to love. Not me and you, but you. These are powerful words. I'm not saying that we shouldn't care for ourselves and not love ourselves. See, yes, it's a name. We should. But sometimes we get stuck on ourselves to such extent that we make idols out of ourselves. We start worshiping ourselves by not even noticing these things. And all our messages and prayers, all our walk in God is concentrated on us. I am right here. God took me. God is taking me through this. It's important, it's good, but the main focus is Him, the desires of His heart, it's the passion of His heart. Do we even know what is in His heart? How often do we come up to Him and ask Him, "Beloved, let's just not talk about me right now, but show me what you dream about, the things that you desire, what is inside of you, your plans for the future." And I remember when I went through my encounter, I experienced a great encounter with God. The majority of you that are in this church, you've heard my testimony of what God has did with me. I was that person that lived in horrible depression, in rejection. And when I encountered God, I encountered this light, and God set me free. And I saw the world through different eyes. I started living a completely different life. Like I said, not all problems of my life, not all things were taken out by God, but I received this precious thing that I live for. I started going deeper into His heart, getting to know Him even more. And on the other side, the more I go deeper into Him, the more I would search for Him, come closer to Him, the more He'd give me revelations. And in some strange way inside of me, I would be even more dissatisfied. I don't know how to say it. It's, it's not that it was hunger. We constantly talk about hunger, but it was this, I was not satisfied with something. I can't even explain what it is. It's not that I was discouraged or depressed. It's not that I was helpless. It's this feeling of constant, it was some sort of longing inside that was drawing me somewhere. And I'm not understanding, what is it that I need? You're like in a great church. I love the word that we hear here. I love the life. I love conferences that the Lord feeds us through. You know, often people come here that feed your spirit. And I love this. I enjoy it. But every time, the more I eat from God, the being at this conference, I want to quickly run away, go home, and go into that room again, hide away in him, and just look at his eyes. And every time when I do that, he tells me, are you satisfied? Are you happy? And tell you the truth, I look at his eyes and say, no. I enjoy it. Yes, Lord, thank you for teaching me. But something inside of me cries out that I still need something. A fullness is not there. He's looking at me and tells me, you know what? I'm not satisfied as well. Not because we do something wrong. Not because something is bad. But there's something so much bigger, something so much greater, some sort of mystery that I want to talk to you just a little bit, but it's that mystery that draws us to this heart. Mysteries that take us into this portal. A mystery that you cannot express the words. The mystery that Paul writes about is mystery that's been hidden from the beginning of time, and it is ready to be revealed within these last days for you. And God says, also, I'm not satisfied. You know, about this message, it's hard to talk to people about it, even though there's more of us now. But still, there's not enough of us, those that are able to understand this, that are able to comprehend and feel us, because, you know, we've been born in religion. Most of us came out of religion, and some are still in religion, because there's a lot of things that are still coming out of us. All our lives, we lived in poverty, carrying this yoke, the stamp of religion on us, carrying this, this thing where we felt like we were fathers, that you don't feel like you're a child of God. It's identity crisis. And you don't know who he is, you don't know who you are, and you're in church, but you don't understand why you're there. Why are you doing all these rituals and traditions? I'm talking from the past life right here. Religious rituals and traditions that you hate. And you're not carrying healing to people. You carry destruction and pain. And that's the story of my life. While growing up in a Christian family, being born there, spent my whole life there. I was in the first rows of the church. We were always singing as children. We were always involved. We never left the church. But we did not grow up knowing him and knowing his heart. Growing up in a big family, we always heard parents talk about God, but we never got to know him. We grew up and we started carrying this pain. We were carriers of pain, of poverty, of lack of knowledge of our God, not knowing his fullness, not even having any clue that what this is and does it exist. And here I encounter God face to face. All of a sudden, I saw what I'm capable of, what we can be in God, who we can be in God. We saw that we can, apparently we can heal. Apparently we can pray for deliverance. Apparently, we can pray for restoration. And you know what? We're like that flock of hungry birds. We just went after it. We concentrated on that. We decided to take it all. And I remember myself. I wanted to pray for everyone that I saw. I wanted to just jump everyone and save everyone. And you know, we came out from having this hunger and just started eating and eating. And amongst all of it, like I said,
как убирается фокус, когда ради чего мы
это делаем. The focus is taken away. Like, why are we even doing it? Because
написано,
it is written that before you start building a tower, you first of all, you'll sit down and look at the plans and your budget. Do you have enough resources? Because if you'll start building and you'll have lack here and there, people will laugh at you and they say you started building and you can finish. You know, we started building, started restoring, but really, we are not captivated by the relations of heaven. We're not captivated by the mysteries of his heart. We sit in things in his heart. Sometimes we do things because of our own desires, our own ambition, and this hunger to do something for him, to restore the wasted years that things were lost. But really, I'll tell you this, we're not going to last long like that. We're not going to last long if we will not be immersed into God's mysteries and the secrets of his heart, into his revelations, and we don't understand why do we even need all of this. Why does he even encounter us? Why? What is this mystery, this revelation that he's revealing to us, people that live within these last days and of his generation? What is this? We have to understand that it's written that without me, you can do nothing apart from me. You know what? Yeah, we say this phrase like 100 times, but really, he says that apart from me, if you will not know my heart for real, if you will not be completely immersed in me, time will come where you will no longer want to do this. You will heal a plenty and deliver plenty. You will feed yourself up to here and you will no longer will desire this. So I'm asking God for him to reveal himself to us in a new light, to reveal his heart completely in a new way for us to be drawn into. You know how God desires that? How his heart hungers so that we would know what is inside of him. Because our God, he is the only God amongst other gods that don't even exist, but he's the only God, if you take other religions, that he wanted to share himself with us. All the other gods, it's all for me, it's all for me, God. But our God, the only God, King of Kings, he wanted to share with us his riches, his wisdom, and just take us to his heart. Who is like our God? There is none. Amen? And you know what? God showed me this parable. He showed me it from a different angle, and I wanted to share it with you today. It's a parable. It's Luke 19:12. I know that you all know it by heart. Ever since you were a child, you read it over and over. Because this parable has been perverted by religion to such extent. Religion used this message to bring people to God, to save them through fear, make them work for him, and just be like working bees. And so, and this parable, as we called it in the childhood, it's about 10 talents. When I was a child, I didn't understand what a talent is. I had no clue they were talking about money. They always thought it was a talent that God gave you, that it's something that you can show off for God. You know, it's funny. I like how this one person said it. Religion is the most creative way to make God undesirable. And you know, and this is what they made this parable name for. I remember when they talked about it and preached on it, and they said, if you will not give the things that God gave you back to him, he will take it all away from you. He will take your salvation away. So hurry up. You know, especially they like to talk about it during funerals. While you're still alive, while you still have a chance to work on the fields of God. Give him everything that he gave you. And that parable would shock me. It scared me, gave me goosebumps. And you know, when I was still a small child, I would always remember this. And by remaining by myself, I said, God, what talents do I have? I was so afraid. I thought, what if Christ is going to come to get his church this night? And I don't even know what talent I have. I have no clue. I have no clue what everyone was talking about. You know, and that freaked me out. And then when I grew up slightly, I started looking at this parable in a completely different light. I saw how the fruit of religion were brought up in me. I saw it from a different side, and it was not a good thing. Let me just read this parable, and then I'm kind of talking about it, but
прочитал, да?
Those of you maybe that you never read it, here's an opportunity to hear it. Luke 19, 12. Let me find it. I'm not going to read it, I'm going to paraphrase it, because I know it by heart. So that's how it went. This is how the story goes. There was this one ruthless lord that decided to go to build his kingdom. And when he was on his departing day, he called all of his 10 servants. It's here in the Bible. Yeah. So he called 10 of his servants, and to every one of them he gave talents, another one names silver, some sort of amount of silver. So he says, take that, invest it into the bank, for instance, and when I return, I want to see a profit. And when he left, the first servant went, invested in third and then fourth, and then they received a profit. But when he came back and he started calling them one by one, the first one came up to him and he said, what did you do with this money? And he said, I invested, and here's the return to him 10 times more. He says, wonderful, you're a great servant, you're my friend, I give you 10 cities that you will watch over, you will be lord over. And then the other one had 5 times more. He says, wonderful, super, I give you 5 cities as your inheritance. And then the third guy comes to him, and he's scared, and he tells him, you know what, Lord, I know that you are a ruthless king, that you gather where you did not sow, and you live in where you didn't build or sow anything. I was afraid of you, so I took this, wrapped it up in a rag, and I hid it, because I know that you will still take what is yours. I'm talking paraphrasing, but this is really what is written there. He says, I know that you will take what belongs to you. That is why I didn't do anything with it. And then this king says, you know, you brought your own conviction. You did not want to invest my own. And that is why, take away from him the things that he had and give it to those that had 10. And the servant said, what do you mean give it to him? He already has a lot. He says, no, take it away and give it to the one that had. So the moral of the story, I said, when I matured, I started reading this parable. By growing up in religion, it was very painful for me. Before, in my heart, I said, God, I don't understand. I hear about you that you are a loving God, that you are a God of love, but why is it that you call yourself a ruthless king? This parable about God, right? He kind of talks about himself. Jesus shared this parable with his disciples. Why are you calling yourself so, that you are so harsh and ruthless, that you gather where you don't sow? What are you talking about? I don't get it. And, you know, like I said before, by going through some certain thing in my life and asking God, yes, I was asking Him for healing. I said, God, I don't understand. Why is this disease that you're not taking away? Why aren't you healing me? And you know, I was asking for so long. I was fasting. I was proclaiming and decreeing and prophesying and praying. I tried to do everything out of possible, but I was strong. I was always on top of it, all these things. And you know, but once I'm coming to this moment where I understood that God is sovereign God and He does whatever He wants. You know what? I'm like that fish. I grab that hook. I grab onto that lie that came from out of pain. I said, God, forgive me, but I think you're so ruthless. I don't understand you. I gave you everything, all of me. I know that my healing, my pain is inside of me. And if you will bring me healing, you will bring great fruit for your kingdom. I know that these things, they will serve as a testimony for many people for healing. But I don't understand. Why is it not happening in my life? Why? I said, God, you're probably ruthless, God. I stopped praying about it and said, that's it. No more. I will no more ask for it because you will still take whatever it is you want. It will still be like you decided. You will not even pay attention to me. You will not even notice me. Yes, you're righteous, God. Maybe that I don't understand you, but the way that I see things right now, you'll do whatever it is you want. You are a sovereign God. You do what you want. Why do you even care about me? And you know, it was a lie. This lie that I believed into for a short amount of time in my life. And just sitting there crying, seeking his face, God showed me this parable. He says, look. I'm not a ruthless king. Why did I say this parable? This is how you see me. I am speaking a human language right now. This is how a man sees me. As sorry as I am to say that. You think I'm ruthless. You think I don't care about you. You think that everything that I desire is for you to serve me, that everything that I want you to do is work for me. When I went to my father to prepare you a place, when I came to establish my throne, my kingdom, at that time I gave you these talents. I told you, okay, so work, do. So when I come back, everything was taken care of, everything was finished. Otherwise, you'd be all in the lake of fire. I said you to do it now. This is how you see me. He says, look at it through the eyes of heaven. You know that if we've been born by God, we are able to comprehend this with our spirit in a completely different light. We have to read the scripture and see what is written between the lines, like Lenin used to do, like in the history, those of you that are aware of Russian history, when he was in exile, it was written in milk between the lines, and he would bring it before the light, and you could see what was written in milk, secret message, and the Holy Spirit told me, this is how you should read the scripture, read between the lines, because words without spirit is just dead words and letters. Start reading with your spirit before you open the Bible, before you listen to some preachers, say, Holy Spirit, show me your heart, God. What is it you were trying to tell me here? And you know what? He started telling me it was powerful. He told me, look, I'm not a ruthless God. Everything that I wanted to do, I wanted to show you my heart, the heart that desires to share with you my kingdom. When I left, I gave you these talents. I told you, every one of you, I trust you. I entrusted you with my kingdom. I told you, you can invest it. You can grow and spread it. This is what I was doing. But you see me completely different. You see me as a God that really doesn't care about you. Beloved, God wants for us to know his heart. He wants to really try to understand his heart. He's a God that desires to show us his mysteries, the mysteries of his heart. He just wants to be drawn into this revelation of who he is. This is what he wants to share with us. What is on his heart? Because, you know, this passion that I started talking about is not only inside of us. It comes out of him. This is what is a part of him, part of his life. You know, I started asking God, I know you love your bride. You miss her. You're lonely? And he tells me, no, I'm not lonely. I'm in the glory of my father, but inside of me, this word in English is for longing. I tried to find to translate it into Russian. It's not it. It's just, there's no word to say it. It's like this desire that draws you somewhere. This longing that just pulls on your spirit, and you are striving for something that you know it's there, you know it exists, but it is somewhere so up there. It's there, but you can't attain it quite yet, and you are drawn by it. He says, this is what I experience inside of me. It's this passion, this longing, and you know, and God one time took me into this thing where he showed me what he hungers for, what he desires, what is this mystery that he hid, that he sealed from the beginning of time. You know, it was very powerful. Encounter with God. And I, to this day, I remember that day. It was raining. It was practically dark. You know how it is usually in the fall in Washington. It was early morning. Praise the Lord. Everyone was gone. My kids were at school. My husband at work. And I had time to spend with God. And all of a sudden, I was overwhelmed by this passionate desire, this longing. It was drawing me somewhere. It was being pulled, drawn. It was like this cloud that came upon me. And, you know, I started shaking, and I didn't know what to do with myself. I didn't know where to place my hands. It was something so powerful that I can't even describe to you. I wanted to see him so much. It was such a new feeling for me. It's not just like, God, come and cover me with your glory. No, it was this feeling that was just taking me out. It was drawing me. I was being drawn into this portal of heaven where, in the middle of my room, it was practically dark. All of a sudden, I got into this light, and I lost myself. I couldn't understand where I was. Apparently ended up in Garden of Eden. It wasn't like a vision, like we talk about open vision. It was in the spirit, but it was such a strong impression and feeling that I will never forget. It wasn't just my desire, Lord, take me somewhere, tell me something. No, it came out of nowhere suddenly, and he just showed me his heart. I ended up in the Garden of Eden, and I saw Eve that was speaking with a serpent. When he was convincing her, come, just eat it. And I felt this pain. I started crying out to God and crying. I know that, yeah, I had this question, but these were not my words that were coming out of me. I started saying, God, why did this happen? How could these people that you, with your own hands, created, that you breathe the breath of life, your spirit, it is written, when he created, he breathed the breath of life into the nostrils of a man, and the man became alive. How is it that these people that were in your glory every day, walking in the coolness of the day with you, every day in this garden, walking with you hand in hand, how could they betray you? I don't get it. I don't understand. Everything was crying out inside of me. I said, God, we pray about it. You know, all our prayers, all the things that we talk about, God, take us into Eden. Return us back into your garden where a man was walking with you and talking to you face to face, where he was walking with you hand in hand, where you were teaching him and your revelations, when you were showing yourself to him, when he didn't have questions. Because I don't get it. How can you have questions when God is walking with you, when truth is right there next to you, when perfection, the fullness of all, God is with you all the time. What is this? What is it that they were lacking? And you know what? We pray, Lord, take us into the new thing. Lord, take us into your garden. Lord, take us to Eden. Take us back there. And said, God, I don't want to go to Egypt. Maybe someone will think that I'm crazy and I lost my mind, but you know what? I don't want to go to Egypt. I'm not satisfied with that because I already saw it. It already existed and happened before. It's not new. It is something that is in the past. Because I'm not satisfied with that, because I saw what happened there. Even though man was in perfection of God, was there a place on earth or heaven where everything was so great and everything existed? Husband and wife, everything was perfect. Fullness, harmony, love, and you know, I heard many different versions, read many books, and everyone has their revelation. And I understand, yes, I love this about God, that he takes a small revelation and at the same time tens of thousands of people can read it and see it in a completely different light. This is our God. Yes. Who is around his throne? The four living creatures that are full of eyes. It is written that they are full of eyes on the inside and outside. They look at him day and night and they're shocked from the creation. And all eternity they cry, holy, holy, holy is the Lord. Every time they get new revelation, a new mystery of God is revealed. This is who you are, our God. This is why he can take a small revelation, a small chapter. He can show thousands and thousands of new revelations that will just shook you. I mean, you'll be shaken by it. And you'll cry out, holy, holy, holy is the Lord. You know what? God showed to me this story from a different side, from a different life. I heard many revelations or human thoughts why that happened. I understand that was a decision from a human part, like we as people did that. And I know it was predestined, pre-planned by God. And I heard many different versions where they said Eve ate that and ate it because Adam was not around. There was no man around to, like, help her. Eve was lonely because Adam was, like, was busy tending to the garden. You know what? I don't believe that because it sounds funny. Because you think, what? You're in the presence of God. You are in the presence of perfection. The best thing, I'm sure that they were useless and just like lonely and just bored in garden. You know, it's funny. No, it's really, I heard it from big speakers. But I don't agree with that. I said, God, I don't understand it. Explain this to me. Explain to me, please. Why is it? How was that even possible? The things that we ask for, the things that we pray for, when we pray, God, we want to see your glory like Moses saw, his face shone when he saw you with the glory. What do we pray about then? And then he comes from the mountain, he breaks commandments. Apparently, by being in his glory and in his presence constantly, that doesn't mean that it's a finish line. That doesn't mean that it's complete satisfaction. There's just something so much bigger, something so captivating and so powerful. And you know, this is what Jesus told me. When I saw that, you know what? I cannot forget these words. These words just led me to the heart of God. He said, I created men. I walked with him hand in hand. I looked him in the eyes. I was teaching him and I loved him. But I don't know. Maybe this is a revelation that not everyone will accept. Maybe someone already understood it and went through it. But for me, it was something new. And I believe it because his spirit told me this that lives inside of me when he said, I created men. But men was never inside of me. The time had to come. And that mystery that is hidden from the creation of time that has been sealed, that mystery that will only be available for those that seek and desire him. And that where it means the two shall become one flesh, where two shall become one. Says that never happened before. Look, God just showed me this one thing, this one scripture in the Bible. Maybe it's not as vivid, but for me it was powerful. It is written that the first Adam became a live being, but the last Adam became the life spirit that gives life. You see the difference? It doesn't say, they're not talking about here a man after the fall. It says the first Adam, became a live soul. So God created him from the miry clay. He breathed his spirit into him and he became alive. But there was another Adam, a second Adam came, the last Adam, that became the spirit that gives life. And Jesus said, only with full combination come together with me, with the second Adam, with the, he calls himself a man that came from heaven. Complete connection with him, with the spirit that gives life. That is complete satisfaction. That is why man departed from Eden. That is why something was inside of them. They were satisfied with everything. They were full of all things. But there was this one thing that they were lacking. And it wasn't their fault. It was the plan of God. God placed it inside of them. That is why a man left God, because he was still searching for something more. Because when the snake or serpent came up and tried to explain this to Eve, he was so sick. look, and it is written, yeah, she saw the fruit, that it was pleasant to look at. And she understood that she was lacking some sort of knowledge. What knowledge are you talking, Eve? Knowledge is standing before you, the whole fullness. What is it that you are lacking? What is it that you desire for? You know, it is written that there was a woman that you'll be like God. And we think that they were not sure that they were like God and they wanted to be like God. But the whole purpose of it all is that there was something inside of them. And that something is that what we experience right now. This is that longing, that desire, passion for this fullness to be one with God, to be one and united with Him. You know, all of that, it was such a powerful encounter. It was so powerful. You know what? When you come out of these things, it takes you days. I'm not even talking about days. You know what? Probably 2.5 years went by from that time. And this is all that I am captivated by. This took me over completely, no matter where I'm at. This is what I think about. This is what I even eat with my eyes shut because I dream about it. I go to bed and it's in my mind, it's in my thoughts. Yes, I have a family, I have things that I have and I go through, but this is all I desire for. I believe that there's a generation that have been born through the Word of God, generation that will carry His glory, generation that will be like the second Adam, that will carry His Spirit, His fire, His power, His life. And you know what? Often we pray, Lord, raise up this generation and people that, like I said, that are busy constantly by healing and deliverance and doing things. It's good, but if you don't know the heart of God, they say, what is it that you constantly pray for? What generation? Enough already. Let's just start doing things. Let's act. Look at all the diseases around you. Look at all the things we have to take care of. But you know what? For real, this is the purpose of it all. And we will talk about it. We will pray. We'll say, God, raise up this generation that will taste you for real, that will not want the fake things, that will not be satisfied with the old things. You know, sometimes I look at my children, and maybe they're not so mature or grown. They're still in the process. You know, maybe they're sitting in the back rows at the church playing with their phones. But I believe that God will... And He did invest and imparted something into this generation, this hunger, for them to have discernment. What is real? What is the truth? You know, children that do not even want to look at the fake things. Recently, my son, he's a teenager, he has friends that even drive cars, and he says, Mom, can I go to a different church? I just want to see what's going on over there, what they're doing, what sort of worship they have. And I said, okay, go, check it out. So he returned, and I asked him, so how is it? It's like this prestige church, and, you know, in our days. There's a lot of people, a lot of youth, great worship. He just wanted to see how other people are doing it. Yeah, I'm here. And I'm asking him, so, son, tell me, did you like it? He says, I don't know. Everything is cool there, yeah. Wonderful music, everything's so pretty. But he says, Mom, you know what? There are this passion. I said, whoa, wow. I thought you're always on your phone, busy, just like not even paying attention. But a child, I mean, children feel this. They grow up in it and they understand that. When we release, maybe they don't speak English very well. Sometimes they don't understand messages and maybe our prayers. But still, when we release this live word of life, when we speak it, we say, God, raise up this generation that will be one generation that will be united with you. They will not be satisfied with anything but you. These children just are full of it. They just, it's just inside of them. They are the true carriers of the DNA of God. Amen? This is what I wanted to share with you.
Because I believe that this time is coming when we will not hide behind, and
our false god, and we will not force ourselves to pray and imitate the God that we think we know, but a generation that will arise in order to rule over, like, in this earth. Just like it says, as the inheritance of God, a generation that will walk into Him, and they will become one with Him, and they will be able to bring the kingdom of His kingdom onto earth. Because currently, we're so far from that. Right now we're walking with our sweeper, and we clean up what the devil has done, and we're rushing around, like, let's go here, God, there's cancer here, and let's go there and pray for these people, and the devil does something else in another region, and we run around and try to fix these things. It's very amusing, and we laugh at ourselves sometimes, and at encounters sometimes we pray, say, devil, I command you to leave, and for hours we pray and declare, and it's funny, I sometimes observe. I like this topic. I enjoy praying for deliverance because I feel authority. Because I have myself went through two encounters. It was lying on the floor the whole time. And some people here remember how I went through my process. And you feel that fire burning inside of you, and you want to carry that fire and freedom. And you know what it is like to be. When you are possessed by fear or death or anything like that. And I was in that, and God delivered me from that. Now I have a passion to free others. And sometimes I watch some programs where I see people who are anointed, who pray for freedom. And it's funny when you watch things in Russia, you know, conferences where you see this person who's being prayed for freedom, and you have 20, 30 people praying tongues over him, casting the demons out, and everybody is praying tongues, and the devil is so afraid, and he doesn't know who to listen to, and he doesn't know what they're saying in tongues, and he would leave because he doesn't have anyone to listen to. But currently, right now, we are demonstrating the kingdom of God. When we pray for freedom, it's the way that we pray for healing. When you are sick and you're just praying, and you're not getting healed, that's not the kingdom of God. Kingdom is when we rule, we reign. Do you know what kingdom is? Kingdom is when Jesus came, and he saw a person who was possessed, and demons didn't know where to go, and they said, have mercy on us, please. Don't get rid of us yet. Let us go to the swine. And we don't need to get on our knees before the demons. Yes. You know, I believe that we are all born above, and we all desire this. We want this, and this burns within us. That is the kingdom. The kingdom is not when you simply you just pray for healing or restoration, but it's when you are that. You are the healing. You are the freedom or redemption. You know, I had this time when I was reading the Bible in the morning with my tea. I was like, okay, I read this, and I read this, and I know this, and this is already underlined. And the simple story of Martha, and what's the name of the brother? Lazar? My wonderful one. And him, yeah? So he dies, and Jesus intentionally goes to people, you know, he goes back to where he was from, you know, and he kind of takes his time knowing that this person died. And I'm thinking, like, God, you know that he died, you know what disease he had, couldn't you hurry up maybe quicker, or send your word so the word will heal so he doesn't die? And I was thinking about this, but he told me, you don't understand why I did this. I wanted to show you who I am. Who I am. Not what I carry, but who I, my core being is. And Martha, you know, we think maybe she was a spiritual. Maybe she's for, just, she just, all she did was cooking and cleaning. Mary is the one who's more spiritual, right? But Martha knew many things. Because it's written that she heard that Jesus came into the village, and she ran to him and said, Jesus, teacher, if you would be here, my brother wouldn't die. And he said, don't be afraid, but believe. Because, you know, he went into the light. And she starts telling him what she knew. It means that she was listening, paying attention. And she said that, I know that he will be resurrected at the last day. And there will be this Sunday, the day of the resurrection. So she was listening, paying attention. So don't underestimate her. And she says, okay, Jesus, I understand all of this, and yes, amen, I accept this truth. But Jesus says, Martha, you don't understand. You completely missed the point that I was trying to make. I am resurrection. I am resurrection. I'm not just going to come to resurrection, and where I come, I am the carrier of healing and resurrection. Beloved, I speak of unity, not just the power of resurrection, the same resurrection, in order for us to become this one whole with Him, not for us to have conferences and have these conferences of breakthrough, where, but instead where our feet walk in, whatever city, whatever environment, we become that Sunday, like, not only where healings get healed, but anywhere we come, that will happen in the atmosphere right away. That's who we need to be. And it's not going to happen until we become one whole with Him. Absolutely. You know, like I was saying, God desires to share Himself with us. God, a person is the only creation of God that He allowed to come into Him. Devil to this point yells because he is such a perfect angel that was created to give worship and praise. He was described as one of the best. And he wasn't involved. He wasn't invited into this intimacy. He wasn't given that opportunity to become one, united into one with Him, with God. Yeah, and he was given his own mission that he didn't take advantage of, he didn't complete. But the person is the only creation who can become one with God. We look at angels and we admire them, and when we saw an angel come, we're like, wow, we saw an angel. But you know, a time comes where angels will be shocked from people. You know that? Angels will receive revelation from the children of light. They will be shocked. Where does this say in the Bible? I will show to you. I wrote, go down. I know this spot. It's very powerful. Only now, for all of the authority in heavens, through the church, becomes obvious, evident, the wisdom of God. In all the creation is very powerful, yeah? Through the church, to who? For all of the authorities and powers in the heavens, means angels. You know that angels, even though they are always in the glory of God, they're given a very specific revelation that they can carry. But when God, who decides to share Himself with you and I, said, when we don't accept the spirit of the world, but when we accept His spirit that is, has wisdom and has so much insight and depth, He invites us to walk with Him, in Him, knowing all of His secrets and mysteries. He says, I give you my, like my mind, my wisdom, my knowledge, and that is able to penetrate past anything. And angels will learn from us. I'm not saying this with pride, but I'm saying this as something that God has given to us, because as the church we are to be united with Him into one. One time God showed me this vision. It was very powerful. I dreamed a lot about this, and I had so much desire for this. And He said, I want to show you the inheritance. I want to show you what I have for you. And in this vision, I saw a secret garden. How can I say, like, not a fence, but like a, like a door, like a gate. And I saw this gate that were closed. And I saw angels. They were, he was like an old with a beard, and in his hands he was holding a key. And he, I saw how he called the person and said, come, I want to show you something. And when they approached this gate, the person was so shy and bashful and kind of like stepped aside, so the angel, can you come forth and open the door to take him in? But the angel instead said, here, he handed him the key and said, you are created to know the kingdom. He gave him the key, and when the person started opening, he was waiting for the angels to come in and kind of guide him, toward him around. But the angel said, the angel turned around, turned away, and he turned his back to the person, and God told me that this is for you. See, even angels desire to get to know the revelation of God as well. Right now, all heaven is waiting. When we will hear the voice and of God and the heart of God, that noise of the feast that He has prepared for us, all of heaven is waiting. What is going to happen? What is a son of God? Son of man, what did He die for, really? He did so much for us, like for what exactly? This is a mystery that dwells in the heart of God, where He wants to completely connect with us and become one with us. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I don't know why. I'm so captivated by this. This is all I live by. This is all I dream about. It's all that I want. It's all that I see. You know, I will not be satisfied if God only does a miracle in my life. If He heals me, it's good. It's right. It's powerful. But it's not going to satisfy me as much as the only thing that you're able to be completely satisfied is when you become one with Him. God said, when the right time comes, when I will enter into you completely, you will no longer seek the knowledge that Eve was searching for. You will not look into sides. I will not need to protect you and convince you to do things, because all satisfaction and all perfection and fullness is in me, and that is what I desire to give to you. It's already what I brought for you. But you know, the church needs to walk into that revelation of that whole completeness, because at this time the church is stuck on what relation is God. We want to kill our flesh, like our soul, our desires. That is a old revelation. It's powerful. But the church needs to enter into the revelation that we died with Him and we were resurrected with Him, and we are a new creation. That our old nature, in the new translation it says our old nature was ripped from us like old clothing. It was already created. It was already done. But now is the time for a church to come into the completeness of God, to see what He has prepared for us, this cloud of witnesses that look at us in heaven, that are waiting to enter into this completeness with us. Everybody is waiting for that. Beloved, if you're tired to sit in church and sermons are just becoming so tiresome to you, let's just beg for Him to take us into His heart, into that ministry mystery, take us deeper, show us more. This principle of how do we unite with you, we know it's written us as a new person. We as new people, we become new from day to day, evolving into the likeness of God, the image of God. But first we need to have that revelation that already we are resurrected, that already we are the new creation in Jesus. Amen. Amen. That is why I know it was a short word today, but you don't have to speak a lot about it. You have to walk, you have to carry this in your heart. You have to be captivated by the dream of heaven and of God. Please, somebody, rise, please.
I know everybody is tired of it.
I want to invite everybody to come up front, those who are desire his hunger and his fullness of God. Just come up front and let's pray and just scream to him. God, we want your fullness. We want. We're not satisfied by anything smaller, anything less than your fullness, your completeness. God, take our heart. Captivate with your mind. We want to have your mind, Lord. We are so tired of walking on the sidelines and becoming satisfied with our flesh and our own desires. We've heard so much. We are so tired of what we have seen. We want your fullness. We want your fullness. Captivate us. Let this desire come from you. God, we want you. Beloved, we want you. Beloved, hear the voice of your bride that with your spirit calls out, come. The spirit of the bride says, come. Come and captivate me. Come and consume me. Consume me. Consume me and dwell in me. Come inside of me. Take me completely. My consciousness, subconsciousness, all of me. Completely. Even my body. Let it be completely in you. I'm open to you. I'm open to you. Come into me, Lord. Come into me, Lord. Fill me. Become one with me. Become one with me. I desire you. I want fullness. Father, thank you. Thank you for these hungry souls, for these hungry hearts, for this unsatisfaction, Lord, that we're not able to be calm, that we don't want to be calm. We cannot stop until you come into us completely, consume us, until you dwell in us, until you show yourself through us, until you flow through us, until you speak through us, until your kingdom is on earth. We want to reign with you, Lord. We want to be with you, Lord. We want to come one into one with you, Lord. We want to be in your glory when you come. We want you. Captivate us, Lord. I ask you, beloved, for every heart to be open to accept this, to desire this. God, I ask you for passion to come. Crazy passion. Crazy passion come unto your heart. Crazy passion into your heart. Penetrate into the depths of your heart. Into the depths of your heart. Know you. God, let all fear leave. Let this barrier, this wedge come away. We want you completely, 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 complete satisfaction with you, united, unity with you, Lord. Unity with you, Lord. Union. you again, would you, Lord? Captivate us with the passion of your heart, Lord. Captivate with the passion of your heart, Lord. Captivate us with the passion of your heart. We are the generation that is born for you, that is born naturally carry your name, but a generation that will become your name on earth. This revelation for the sons and daughters of light that are rising up before you, that will not be, that will imitate you, that will be like you, that will become one with you. We ask you, in the name of Jesus, this is your dream. This is your dream. Jesus, you said, Daddy, let them be in me like I am in you. Let them be in me like I am in you. Unite us into one. That is your dream. That is the passion of your heart. That is the desire of your heart. And we tell you yes.